Hey, welcome to the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen special meeting, budget workshop number two, Tuesday, January 21st, 2025, at 6:30. It's at the Town Hall and Zoom. I'd like to call the meeting to order. I would like to see if I could get a motion to move the Diane Donald Scholarship Internship Program grant further up.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we move it to position 1A.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yes.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That's 7 yes, 0 no.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
6-1 absent.
I'm sorry. Mather Clark is absent.
Okay. And who seconded?
Bob Moore.
Bob Moore.
Thank you.
He was quiet tonight.
So I guess we'll call on Patrice.
Is that 1A?
Yes, you're 1A.
Yep, you're 1A.
All of you may or may not be aware of the Connecticut's Countryside project that we've been working on with the three other towns, Coventry, Mansfield, and Holland. And we have had an intern working on some of that project. And I have come across a scholarship opportunity for the intern for $3,500. And I wanted to apply for the scholarship in order to help pay for some of this time. There is no match required by the town. It's basically if you win the scholarship, they send two payments, one up front, one when the project's completed. I would expect him to be done with what we're doing probably by end of May, end of June, somewhere in there, no later than that. And I understand that I needed to come to you before I apply for this. There's no guarantee. It's just one of those things.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Who sponsors this?
Connecticut chapter of the American Planning Association. It's a planning project.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We don't need a motion for this, do we?
May I ask a question?
Yes, go.
Where's the money coming up now to pay him?
Coming out of the land use department budget.
Oh, okay. And do you think the $3,500 would cover all of the time that he's going to be spending until he leaves?
I think it'll cover, in addition to what we're doing now, yes. Yep.
Great.
For this program.
Mr. Chairman, to put it on the table, I make a motion that we allow her to apply for the Diana Donald Scholarship Internship Program, a grant.
No, it's a scholarship, actually.
Scholarship, yeah. Scholarship.
It's a scholarship internship. Scholarship. Okay.
And I'll second that motion. Bob Moore seconding.
Any other questions?
I wish her luck.
All in favor? Good luck. Aye. That's 6 yes, 1 absent. Thank
Patrice,
you.
I think it would be great if at some point we could get either you or Josh or both of you just to come in and maybe give a 10-minute presentation to the board.
It would have to be me because Josh is in class.
Is in class. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think that would be great. He's been doing a lot of great work. And unless somebody went to the website, they wouldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be great if he could do that at some point.
Okay.
Or you could
do
it
on Wednesday night meeting.
His behalf.
So we have one Thursday, one.
We can look. Patrice and I can work together to look for opportunities.
Thank you.
Or if you have, you don't meet in the day anymore.
Not often as a full board. Okay. Usually our subcommittees meet during the day, but I think it would be a benefit the entire board to just see what he's been working on.
Okay, thank you very much. Number two, boards and commissions, planning and zoning.
Thank you. Since this is the full budget workshop, I just thought I'd open with a more general comment. Especially around referendum time, people get talking and they say, what are we getting for our taxes in Bolton? This is what I tell them. You're getting the best roads and the best schools in the state. Getting what you pay for. Among that, the planning and zoning request is very small. Is a very small amount. Part of the request is based on experience. Part of it is based on the assessment of risk. If Mike, we should be talking to a lot of people, and it looks like there were a lot of applications coming up, we would say, oh, we're going to need more advertising, or we're going to need more payroll for the clerk, because we're going to be spending a lot more time. Right now, it looks like things are going to be pretty much as they've been in the past, and so those two numbers have not changed. Professional educational training. You may know that the members of the Planning and Zoning Commission are now required to have 4 hours of training a year, and we want something in there, even though nothing was expended in the 23-24 year. That need is there, and even though I try to get my hours for free, we want to make good programs available to both staff and the commissioners. Office and operation expenditures, that's looks like it's continued. You know, the experience has been good, and so there's no increase has been requested. And the same with the dues and fees. And we can, you know, everybody's trying to get a little bit more, so we think that $200 is a good number to go for that. And so it's actually the request is actually going to be a little bit less than the request for 23-24, so we think these are good numbers.
Yeah, actually, I think the request is the exact same number as last year, but for 24-25, which we're in right now, we asked for 4,000. So for 25-26, we're asking for the same.
But it's still less than 23-24. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
With that being said, is there any questions? No. I think we can move on then. Yes, I think you're good.
You're welcome to stay, but nobody will be insulted if you don't.
Thank you, Tom. All right. And next is Zoning Board of Appeals. And we don't have a representative of the Zoning Board of Appeals. And their project is
it's a flat request.
It's a flat one.
Exactly the same. So next is Inland Wetlands. And we do have Ross Lally here. Thank you, Tom.
Good evening, folks. And I will keep it short and simple. Is that we are going to keep our budget the same as it has been for the last 10 years or so, because we typically wind up giving $500 to $1,000 back. And so our meetings really just represent the minimum number of times the budget that we really have to meet. So it's once a month. We assume, you know, one public hearing, and that's really what it's based around, you know, from the payroll perspective and from the advertising perspective. Dues and fees are the same, you know, that we've asked for, and education is the same, and that's for when we get new members, either for training for them or educational materials. So, as you're going to say, with inflation, we've really just reduced our budget by keeping it the same. It's got like about 40% less buying power than it used to. So, don't know if there's any questions about it. We'll probably spend more money thinking and talking about it than the actual budget.
That's right. Is there any questions on that? Okay, I guess you're cleared to move.
Actually, sorry, there was a law that the state passed requiring us to start
tracking things related to water. That had nothing to do with inlands and wetlands, right? Was that related?
I'm talking about MS4?
Yes.
MS4 is done out of the professional and technical
okay.
budget.
Okay, thank you.
Through Nathan L. Jacobson and Associates, Wade Thomas.
The catch-all part of the budget.
Any other questions? If not, I will be back again for when we talk about the registrar's budget.
Which will probably be a little longer
conversation. Probably a little longer conversation. There's a lot more details to it, and I just did submit that. So if
you
guys do have that,
we appreciate
that. Delay with that.
All right. Thank you, Ross.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Later.
Thank you for what you do.
And so next is the town budget. Town building operation. You're off the hook. Okay.
This year, first payroll went up through the contract with negotiated raises. Okay. Other payroll, mainly for minimum wage going up a little bit, and then longevity payments. More of us been here for a while. Overtime went up with the contract negotiated raises. Professional and education training, we're leaving that flat at 1500. Repairs and maintenance services, we went off a little bit on that mostly because of our copier contracts. We've seen a larger use of some of the copiers in town. So if we go over our minimum or our maximum, we get charged per copy. We have a handful that people have been making more copies than they used to. Communications, halfway through the year last year, we had signed a new contract with Frontier offering us our phone service. That's the full amount of the increase this year.
Hey, John. I'm new. I don't understand the. I'm not familiar with the copier arrangement. Is it like a lease? Do we have like a certain
number? We
purchase
copiers and then we do a all inclusive maintenance agreement.
Oh,
so okay. Toners and all that stuff's included. But once you go over a maximum number of copies, we get charged per page.
Thank you.
So
appreciate it.
Postage. You guys have been mailing an awful lot of stuff the last 2 years.
Well, postage has increased tremendously.
Yeah, it has. And the amount of postage we've used has gone up. So that's why that one went up. Repairs and maintenance. The main driver on this one is every 3 to 4 years, we put sand at the beach at Indian Knox Park. We put it off the last year, maybe two, but it's really time for us to redo that. That's why that one went up so much. Heating fuel. With Notch Road closing down, we're seeing the savings there. Electricity, killer. Our locked in rate, luckily, is only 2 cents a kilowatt more than what we were paying the last 3 years. I was expecting close to a 12 cent. But we have a 9 cent per kilowatt charge.
9.45, I think.
Yeah, in that range. So, and the other one that's killing us is delivery fees.
Mm-hmm.
The fees that pay for Millstone and that. So that's why you see that large increase. Medical supplies. Those are the first aid supplies we use mainly at Indian Notch Park, and that should stay pretty flat. Uniforms. The increase there was boot money went up in a couple of the contracts. And dues and fees are pretty much flat.
Well, John, I have a question with regard to payroll. So the contract that you're under is good, I believe, for 2 more years, but we're going to be negotiating a contract for your team. What did you assume for a percentage?
The same as
the supervisor's contract, which I think is 2.75.
Did you skip the equipment line?
I might have. That stays flat. That's used for if we do buy a new copier or our small hand equipment like string trimmers, chainsaws, Anything under the $10,000 kappa.
That Frontier contract, I was shocked to see how much it's going up for phones. So that is, we're locked into a how many year contract with them?
I believe it's a 3-year contract.
And this was like the negotiated annual increase for this year?
Right. We had been locked in when it was SBC, I think was the one previously, to a central link it calls. It does all our call forwarding, call rolling. If you call one number at town hall, it might hit the sixth number we have. It's their central link they called it. And we've been locked in, and it stayed pretty flat for, I want to say, a good 8 years. But this is the first one we've negotiated with Frontier, and it went up.
And so this is for cell phones, and we have voice over IP, right?
The line in there, our communication is for the cell phones, the internet, and then Frontier.
But I think the only town buildings that have voice over IP is the town hall annex and senior center, right? Everything else is like
actually just the
town hall is hard lines.
Just the finance department.
Just the finance department. Everybody else. But everybody, right, because they run through the fiber from the school system.
Right. Everybody else.
But everybody else is a hard phone line.
How many phone lines are there? Or should I even
more than you might imagine?
Yeah.
There's a lot.
7 here. 3 at the library, 2 at the troopers, 1 at the farm. I believe 2 at the firehouse, then 2 for finance, 2 for register of voters. Seniors, I believe, have 3. And then us and the highway each have 1.
We have 1 at Herrick?
And Herrick and Indian. No, we took 1 at Indian.
We don't have 1 at Indian Notch.
Yeah. And a lot of, like, the farm we have to have for the fire alarm and burglar alarm. The troopers, because it's a commercial system, we needed 2 phone lines, 1 for their regular, and then we piggybacked the alarm panel on that, plus a separate one for the alarm panel. A lot of the panels required 2 phone numbers at one point.
Is there any plan to go with the wireless on those?
As we've been upgrading the panels,
yeah,
we've been switching to that.
Okay.
Like ours used to have 2 lines, and now it's 2 cells. The one at the farm is 1 cell, 1 hard wire.
Right.
And I believe...
I think those are cheaper than landlines, aren't they?
Yeah, they're only like, I want to say $36 a quarter.
Yeah.
For those.
Well, yeah. Compared to landlines.
The double is the signals we get at some of the buildings. Just right. Like the library, you can't get a good cell signal. Herrick is a spotty one. That's why it's our backup one. Even our building isn't a good
No.
There's certain spots in time in town with cell services. Not good enough for the alarm panel.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other questions for John? Well,
nope.
Very good. Well done,
John.
John.
Thank you. Thank you for listening, John.
We'll see you tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Whatever you would call it.
Yeah, that's it.
Finance Committee discussing the capital budget.
Thank you, John.
Thank you,
John. Now for the assessor, Carrie. Carol, sorry.
Yeah. But it's really, other than the contractual payroll change, there was really no change. I didn't have anything that we do. Ordering special,
Can I ask one question about the dues and the fees? You have in there 25,253 for the request map and the unaudited expenditures for 23.4 with 1,010. And looking we don't have any further look back. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Meeting that whole thing.
I know there's one that's paid in the spring. And I think there's a couple that we just put in that maybe aren't reflected yet in the unaudited. If we just got a bunch of renewals, smaller ones, but maybe like $400 or so for all of them. And that isn't in there yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there any other questions? That's it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you
for what you do.
Thank you, Kara.
That takes care of the budgeting portion of the show. And we'll move on to number five, discussion and possible action on RFP for schematic plan for new town hall. So we're going to put $150,000 into the capital, correct?
But there's already there's already $148,000 there.
Right.
So do we want to spend that $148,000 to put out an RFP for a schematic for the new town hall, which should represent something that's good enough to go out to bid? Would take be into probably a year to get that done or so. Of course, have to do it.
Well, I mean, the first thing we'd have to do is get the RFP out, but then the second part of that would be for them probably to have a meeting with the Board of Selectmen, or at least the subcommittee, and discuss, you know, what their thoughts and ideas are. And then they would need to review the space studies before and confirm that nothing has really changed with regard to our needs. And then also really look very closely at the site that we've talked about, which is the site where the Notch Road Municipal Center will come down. So that's how I would envision it to start. I mean, I'm not an architect, but I would envision that that's how it would start. And I suspect that they would have several meetings with the board or its subcommittee.
What are we hoping for a result from the RFP?
A budget price to work with?
Which I think we've already had discussions with a couple people, I believe, that put us in that ballpark. So do we already have an idea of what the design should be?
No.
So I'll wait till you're done. I've got a question after that.
Go ahead. Thank
you.
Yeah.
We've had interns look at and actually put a report together based on the data they put together and interviews we've had. And that's probably 3 years old now.
Yeah. 3 years old.
Yeah. And one of the things I know we look at a lot of different things. Obviously, you know, the elephant in the room is, okay, maybe the school. Well, before I even look at what, and in this changing environment as far as space, how you utilize it, and what space do you really need and what space don't you need, I think if this looks at defining what space we the town and its whatever uses we decide we want to go for really needs, that's an important part of where you go forward, no matter where you go. And I think that's a critical component. If this does that, I would be in favor of doing it. If it doesn't, I would not. I mean, I think I'm not saying you reinvent the wheel. We can look at what what's been done, and also factor in AI and everything else that is being utilized today. As far as I'm concerned, you don't need as much space. You're not storing a lot of stuff. You shouldn't. We do have tons of these things out here, the file cabinets and this and that. And a lot of design and older designs incorporates that sort of thing in different desk designs and workstation designs. All that is moving faster than I can handle, because I won't spend the money to do a new one and I use an old huge desk. And that's not what's out there, and that's not what's going around. And we're not out here to, you know, load up an architect's pocket. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to see us overbuilt, whatever we do. And to do that, I think we have to have a good understanding of our what our space needs truly are. I mean, we've looked at it, we have some thoughts, and my thoughts are things have moved. I mean, things have changed in over those 3 years, and our space needs may not be what we thought they were. And so let's get a better idea of what we have and maybe how we can better utilize space.
Are you suggesting that we review the old, we should look at the one from 4 years ago, look at that, refresh our memories, and for those that haven't seen it, take a look at that. Do you think we should do that first?
Well, whatever, if you're going to have someone, I don't know if you want to do it first or part of the process, because this is, whoever's going to be doing this is going to look at that. I mean, that's part of their, look at that, see what.
Oh, we may look at it first and say, no, it's antiquated.
Right.
And not bother to take up their time.
So you mentioned interviews. Were there interviews done with the different departments to see what they wanted to see in it? This is the 3 to 4 years ago?
No, probably about, that was probably done about 16 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the intern, so it wasn't really interns. It was
UConn, right?
UConn School of Engineering students. It was their capstone project.
Yeah.
And they looked at that. I think Sandy was first selectman at the time.
Yeah.
And we engaged with them. It was at absolutely no cost.
Yeah.
They needed a capstone. We partnered with the UConn School of Engineering a couple of times for different things. And they actually did a really good job.
Yeah.
And they actually made, a virtual 3D model that you could really get a visual picture, but they did, they did spend some time looking at the old reports, the old floor plan that was designed, and talking with staff about their needs.
Cool.
And I think the thing that the committee has talked about, and Gwen can chime in here if she feels it's appropriate, but one of the things that we talk about is, we're not designing a building for today. We're designing a building for today and at least the next 25 years, if not the next 50 years.
So is there, I'm guessing I'm uninformed because I'm not on the committee. So is there, an outline of what we want already put together?
No. The committee went to 3 different towns and looked at 3 different town halls, which was really, really informative.
Yeah.
And I think we all got our own ideas about what we think is good, what we think is we don't need, because there was no perfect example out there. We couldn't say we want to recreate.
Yeah. It's good. You could take a little bit from each one.
Yeah.
Is there any timeline on when are there funds that need to be used by a certain amount of time? Yes.
So to the RFP, right? It's not just an RFP for schematic. It's an RFP for exploration as well.
I think that's where this conversation is going. And I think that's really key for us to all decide what the RFP exactly is for. And I agree with you, Bob, that the things change so fast that, and like office buildings, you don't need a skyscraper full of office buildings now, just like we are not going to, maybe we don't need the amount of, well, this building is, you know, we can't use this as an example, but we might not need the kind of office space that the 2-3 prior studies suggested that we need. But I also don't want to see us going back and saying, let's go do a study now of how much space we need with this 148,000, because I feel like that's just taking a step. It's just, we're just treading water. We shouldn't be treading water at this point. Now, Jim, a question for you is the facilities study RFP that you said just got, bids just got opened, or the results are
the bids were open today. The results are posted.
So how much of that study will go look into needs, space needs for town hall?
Probably that's not what it's designed for. It's designed as a general conditions report. And the reason that we engage in these facility studies every 20 or 25 years is when we apply for grant monies or we're looking at long range planning, these studies are helpful to understand what the conditions of our buildings and our systems are. That's the purpose of that. So it might get into it a little bit, but it's not gonna go into it with the depth that we would need. You know, it'll probably recognize that this building, A, isn't laid out appropriately, and you know, B, just doesn't have enough space for the current need. But it probably won't go into what we actually need.
So is there a way that we could talk to an architectural firm before to get some advice on how to word the RFP so that it includes this space examination, but as well as a schematic?
So we might, design? You know, we might start, you know, since we have a little more time than we thought we were going to have, we might start with an RFI, which is a request for information, right? And then, you know, get information from some architectural firms who would then hopefully, you know, they'd be looking forward to potentially bidding on a project. So that is one way that we could get that, or we could engage the services of an architect that we know and trust to help us define the RFP.
Have any idea how much that would cost?
I would, you know, they don't come cheap, but I would guess probably $4,000 or $5,000. That's just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should ask Tom while he was here.
Yeah. Amanda.
To the exploration piece, I guess I have a couple concerns. I mean, I think, you know, we know what in terms of the like what the town staff need for space. I mean, there's underlying assumptions we need to make, right? Are we going to digitize or keep things, right? Like, we have to assess those kind of questions in terms of how, what kind of space. I guess my concern is more around functionality. What types of functionality, aside from the ones that are here existing, right? What other types of functionalities are we looking to get out of this space? And who are we going to have? Who are we as a board, or who is this contractor going to bring into those conversations? You know, I know, I think that I probably disagree with some members on this board about bringing in the public early, but I don't think we want to end up with a schematic that our townsfolks wouldn't support because it doesn't include or includes things that they don't want it to include. And so I do think that a useful part of this what this consultant can do is solicit in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a town meeting, a survey, a charrette, whatever it may be, feedback from the public on this topic.
I think Amanda has a very good point. I think we need to think a little bit outside the box and ask for town input at an early stage. I think that is credible because we're not structured the same way we were when a few of us moved to town. Do we have planning and zoning? Do we have zoning? Do we have planning? Do we have an energy commission? Do we have a computer department? Do we have, I mean, what will be the future if it's going to AI? the needs that, how do we think broadly and figure out a creative utilization of space that can be fluid, that could change out depending on what future needs are that we're not even thinking of today.
And are there any staff that could work from home? I don't know the answer to this, right? I know a lot of people do rotating staff, like some days in, some days out, and would that reduce the space we need? I mean, there's so many different things to consider.
I would love to see more brainstorming. Sorry about that. I would love to see more. I mean, but I don't know.
Right.
Maybe there's already been this, and so I might be speaking out of turn. You know what I mean? Like, you guys might already have more of an outline than I think. So
not really. No.
I'd love to see more of that first.
Mm-hmm.
And then before an RFP goes out and we vote on action for an RFP, I think it would be great to have everybody's eyes on the RFP and look at the scope of what it is and what we hope to accomplish from it. I know we want to select an architect. I get that. But who's going to win? Is it based on the budget that they put forth? Is it based on just who has the best design that we like the best? You know, there just seems to be a lot of, and maybe you guys already have it. I don't know what the winning criteria would be. So I certainly wouldn't vote to go forward with an RFP at this time based on the information I have, but I could be out of line there.
So I would envision with this that, you know, we would pick several, you know, respondents that we would actually interview. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always put in, unless it's certain projects that you have state funding, we always put in the caveat that we're not necessarily going to take the lowest bidder, you know, so that, you know, we, and here's an example. If you remember when the Facilities and Public Safety Committee looked at, you know, bidders for the initial bids for the teardown of Oxford Municipal Center, and, you know, we looked at the qualifications and did interviews, the committee really didn't want the lowest bidder. And that's because they wanted who they felt was the most qualified bidder. And I would expect that you would do the same thing with this RFP, which is what I anticipate with the RFP that we just got the bids back. You know, we will.
What are they bidding? Are they bidding the cost of getting to 30% drawings?
I think that's where the town hall committee can probably get together, and we can, you know, work together to define the scope of services that we think is necessary a little better, so that we can come back to this board and have, you know, more specific discussions about, you know, what we think should be included in the RFP. And just as you suggested, you know, we should talk about what we're going to include, what we hope to accomplish.
Right.
I think because of the scope of this, Jim, from your description, from Gwen's, Amanda's thoughts, and Bob's, as well as Tim's, we should look at perhaps an RFI to start with and see if we can do it for a reasonable figure, not something too outrageous. But I think it gives us a starting off point.
It might help the committee further define
do what for reasonable.
And you even had mentioned an RFQ, which,
right,
request for qualifications, where perhaps there's 10 and you whittle it down to 3, not based on price, but just their qualifications.
Right.
Or maybe that's wrong. You've done more of these.
That's things. Often that the state often, like DOT often does that. They'll go out with RFQs,
yeah,
and then they'll shortlist, you know, usually 5 contractors,
right,
and then they'll solicit bids from those 5 contractors,
yeah,
interview them again. And that's, yeah, you know, that's who they, you know, that's the pool,
yeah,
that they choose from to award a contract.
I mean, the things I would look at in an RFI would be those type of pieces, you know, looking at what would our cost be for an RFP, but also would they consider providing not only looking at the scope of the project recommendations, but recommendations for funding. Because we talked to other towns, and they didn't fund it all themselves. Mm. They went out and there was a plethora of little pieces, and those are moving pieces, depending where the grant monies fall, how much is, and who's got what money in what pocket to be able to share. So I think that could be part of the RFI.
That's a good request, is what experience do you have finding alternative funding? And also, how do we
put that in an RFP?
Well, RFI, I think that would be more for the RFI, like, hey, tell us about what you've done with other towns to find alternative funding. Also, what is your pricing structure? Do you have a not to exceed number? How many revisions do we get? You know, that sort of thing. Because the first try, we're going to get some design and it's going to be like, all right, well, that's about 50% over our budget. So let's look at what we're
such an optimist.
Yeah.
A man after my own heart.
So on the buildings we went through.
I'm going to say 40.
On the buildings we went through, I mean, it's brand new buildings.
Yeah.
And the architects had their way. They had systems in there that they abandoned immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They spent tens of thousands of dollars on these systems.
I ran cable to all bedrooms in my house 5 years ago. I haven't used one of them.
Right. So you know, they can't sell you on frills, and they're really limited in their lifespan at best. And then one of them had all the pertinent staff offices or the offices on the second floor. So, you know,
East Hampton.
Everybody's got to climb the stairs or take the elevator.
Yeah, it was just like, so, you know, we got to, I have kind of a vision of a single floor with glass front or whatever, but, you know.
Glass front?
With the, well.
That's a security issue.
It's facing.
Oh, I see.
So,
energy.
I mean.
Passive.
And,
solar.
And,
there you go.
And we were also discussing putting. Well, the emergency management would be in there, so there would be funding separate for that.
We could probably get a good grant for the emergency operations. Mm-hmm.
And because it's on a hill, we might be able to get some fire apparatus set up downstairs, which is a different grant budget that we can maybe work with.
Franklin did that.
They did in the town hall.
Mm-hmm. They
did exactly that when they did theirs.
Andover did it 100 years ago.
yeah. Long time.
Can you get the state police in there somewhere? You know, I don't. It just goes on and on. So right. There's plenty of pockets to get money out of. It's to come up with a plan. Nobody at this table has the wherewithal to try to put something together on paper that's going to make sense.
But I think to your point, and all those options you just laid out, no one's going to be able to move forward if we can't tell them what we want to include and what we don't want to include.
We need somebody to help us move forward.
We need somebody to help us assess that. But at the same time, like at the end of the day, we are the ones who are going to say, keep it or nix it. Otherwise, we're going to end up with a schematic that we don't like.
That's where it comes in, where you need to know how the working relationship will move forward with the architect. In other words,
and
you get 100 revisions or 2 revisions, or, you know, hourly, you probably have an hourly rate for how they work on it. And, you know, once you use up your budget of hours or something.
You're right. And I think it depends on how much we chip away at refining
ahead of time.
Our asks.
Before, right.
How much would it cost to do an RFI? And by the way, I am not in favor, not that I'm an end-all be-all, but I am not in favor with wasting people's time with having them spend time on things that we're not going to use or to get free information in a scrupulous manner. In other words, it's not fair to contractors to ask them to put together like a whole design, you know, I don't think.
Well, if you're paying for it?
No, RFI. For an RFI or an RFQ, like I'm thinking statement of qualifications, put together some of these great ideas we just had, like what's your experience with, what schools have you done? What alternative funding sources have you worked with? Or you don't have to give us, you know.
That's more of an RFQ.
Yeah, right.
And all these things. And what's your billing process? And like, just tell us about your company so that we can evaluate 3 of them that we want to work with. And in the meantime, we can refine some of the asks based on your visits and those sort of things as well. And that way, maybe when we do select somebody, we know what we're asking for.
I don't think that's a big event for them to do that, because that's their
role. I don't think the RFQ is a big event. I'm saying to go to RFP and say, give us your best design.
I think it definitely makes sense to do either RFI or RFQ first.
Right. In RFI, we would be asking things more like, how would you help us narrow down our scope of work, right? Or, and how would you incorporate our scope of work into a schema? Like, just, it would be more the how.
What's your
right
process?
More process oriented than qualifications, right? I've never done an RFI, so I don't.
I would hope that whoever you hired would already have a knowledge base of space that's required for each department relatively, and you're just going to change the layout and say, you know, we want the dog pound out in the back versus on the second floor.
As someone yeah. who designed a kitchen and like before I knew I wasn't going to be able to build a house, like 50 times, there's no one
right to this, right? Like, do you feel like you could do it better the second time?
I mean, by the like 50th time I had my design and then I realized I couldn't afford to buy land, but I just feel like to expect someone to come in and be able to tell us exactly what we need without asking questions, and
that's part of the planning process after right. you pick somebody, I think.
Right, but
it can be.
That's why I'm saying we need an RFI. Like some people might have a more of a horizontal vision. Approach, and other people may take a more vertical like approach to things.
I think typically what you get is you get people who are experienced in designing that type of building, right? Mm. I mean,
yeah.
Like for instance, Alan Weedy was known as the fire department guy for years, right?
The fire department,
I mean, and you know, everybody loved the Bolton Fire Department. It was state of the art when it was first right. built. And I know because of the Bolton Fire Department, the town of Ashford hired Alan Weedy to design our fire department. Right. So I think you end up with specialists, you know, people who have niches. And okay. I think that's what, you know, I would hope that we could find is somebody who's this is not their first time out of the gate designing a town hall.
Yeah.
And a small town.
That's why I'm not worried about qualifications. I'm worried about their approach. Honestly, but
yeah, I still don't have a grasp of what an RFI is. You're asking for information, but information is what you get when you ask for when you make any kind of request. Shifted
towards RFQ, request for qualifications. Tell us about your company and how you operate.
But see, when you do like when we reviewed the demolition applications, they gave us all their qualifications. Like that wasn't something that was part of what. Mm-hmm. any company would do in order to prove to us that we should hire them. Maybe. So
I think we've talked in so many different pieces. Lost track of the original discussion about RFI for just a few $1,000 help us put together an RFP.
Which is the proposal versus qualifications versus information.
And they would tell us what we need to ask for all those things. Because what we have found, Jim, if I'm not mistaken, is recently we've had an RFP go out. We had three different types come back in with different things in it. And then you sent out a second one because you did the realization that the three came in with different offerings.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, we narrowed the scope narrowed, of what we did.
We did the RFP to make the scope tight
mm-hmm.
or to our needs. So this will hopefully will keep that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make a little more sense? Yeah. That's mm-hmm. what I was thinking you were talking about.
That makes sense.
RFI.
So it's a they're giving us consultation on what we should be asking for in the RFP. That and then that consultation has got to be, they've got to then delve into what we think we need for in our new town hall.
And do we look at a huge architectural firm that has big experience, or I'd be interested to see if, you know, when we narrow down our RFP, that it will be tight enough that it will keep. Not we don't yeah. want to waste people's time.
Yeah,
it'll
focus on proposals. On people that are going to be suitable for the job.
They may not be finding the people for us, but they may be helping us label it so that it is attractive to certain vendors.
I suspect Jim probably has already a concept in his head. Do you think it would be fair to maybe put together a draft and then we review it and see? We may have some revisions and. See if it's the direction we want to go. And we have some additions or subtractions. I'm sure you already have in your head what you have for an RFI or an RFP?
It's one of those things I do when I don't sleep.
I don't know. If we just had a draft, then we could all contribute. You know, then we have a starting place because right now we're all talking.
But I want to be honest. It would be a little while before I could put that.
I don't think we're in a rush to spend the $180,000.
I'm asking you to give me permission to work on a couple of other grants, which have deadlines at this point that we would want to meet.
I think time is on our side, and I think it's good.
Not if you talk to Jim Walsh.
Well, so
Jim's well, we want this to be a success. I know he's
the name out there.
In one of the other thing, I'm going back to a word that you mentioned, and that's functionality. Because government 5 years, 10 years from now, the structure is going to be different. There's no way that individual towns are going to be able to survive under current structure. As we go forward, maybe short term, yes. Long term, no. There's going to have to be consolidation, and it is going to happen. Like it or not, you're going to be forced into it. You're better off thinking about doing that and go. I mean, we as a small town, we've done a lot. And
well, it's one of the reasons that we've been successful with regionalization. I mean, we've got we have five or six people working out of that little tiny office,
right?
Like. Hot wrecking a desk.
That's what I say. I mean, that's part of
it. And we do that out here to some degree.
Yeah, that's part of the conversation. Even
So what we're talking about for those people that are listening in, we're talking about shared services we have with other towns, whether it's the assessor, whether it's the health district. So we have
water pollution.
I was trying to find the right word for that.
The sewer authority.
Sewer authority.
Sewer authority. So we house things for other towns, but for just a few days a week.
And we are a leader in shared services.
Yeah.
For a little town, we are looked at statewide as one of the leaders.
I think this board is very sensitive to knowing that we don't want to build a Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
That would be antiquated before it's actually 10 years into its usage. But that's a delicate situation. One of the planning things we have to do is what is the functionality of this facility when it's turned over? So it's an important piece.
And I think that's where one of Amanda's comments really comes into play is with the public participation. I think that really helps because, and the committee's talked about this, one of the things that we really are concerned about is making sure that this stays a vibrant community hall and is used in an appropriate fashion. You know, and it probably will require, at the same time we invest funding in a new town office building, we probably need to look at how this building is going to be used and make sure we invest the appropriate amount of funding in this building to make sure we meet the needs of the community with what's going to happen here.
So that it's not mothballed.
Right.
We have all the problems that come in with that.
Yeah.
Right. So we saw with the farmhouse.
Once you get all this stuff out of the way, you got a huge meeting facility, small, large, whatever you want. That used to be one big room. Another meeting facility. There's you so have to improve the ADA accessibility.
That's the biggest thing, I think. That's our biggest hurdle.
And you have door cases that are the wrong sizes, and they're obviously those things that have to be changed. But as far as bringing it back 50 years and utilizing it at that point, it's simply bringing it up to ADA compliant usefulness, it's a very, and what we have done to this building to modernize it, as far as its use, its functionality and comfort level, this building's got another 100 years in front of it.
But it also has a historical look to it that's important to a lot of people in the area. It's important that they.
So maybe we can come with it.
As far as historical relics, yeah, I can fall into that category.
That's the first question. Is there something
you're addressing? So I think I like the idea of looking at a draft RFI and because that might be the way that we start to solidify or pull together all of our thoughts mm-hmm. about what the next, what the RFP is going to look like.
So I would, I since we can't make a motion on an RFI because it's not listed, this is a special meeting and we can't change the wording, we can table this with a consensus with our discussion. So we will table the RFP for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a comfort level with that wording, with an understanding that we've had discussions about an RFI.
Yeah, I would like there to be, I know Jim, you said you've got a couple of other grants that you're going to be working on, but I don't want the timetable to slip away too much either. So what do you think would be a realistic time frame for you to be able to get a draft RFI to us to look at?
Probably March. If you ask me today, it's probably March.
March. Okay.
So that's not a lot of time at all.
Okay. So a draft in March.
Which is 3 months ahead of the money we were looking for before.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, I just need a little bit of a nod because it's not debatable.
Right.
The consensus. Maybe we got a consensus. We got, make a motion that at this time we table number 5 action for an RFP.
We have a second to table it. Amanda, sure. Second it. Okay. It's tabled.
No, all in favor.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. That's 6 yes, 1 absent. So now we're moving on to consider a possible act on a STEEP grant application.
So we have the STEEP grant application timeframe has just opened. We have until February 20th if we would like to put in a STEEP grant. The nice thing about STEEP grants is if we, you know, keep it under a $500,000 cap, a match is not required. They like to see matches because it shows that the town has skin in the game. But with everything else we have going on right now, I don't think we have the financial capacity for another match. I've had an idea in my head for a couple of years now that I've thought about when I don't sleep at night. When the Notchwood Municipal Center section that's coming down comes down, we're going to be left with a senior center in rooms A and B. And we brainstormed around this table with a couple of different boards now about how we solve some of the spatial issues that we have with regard to the different uses we have, like summer camp and voting and things of that nature. And I would, you know, the idea that I have in my head, but of course I'm open to anything this board wants, is to take rooms A and B and remove all of the walls and make it a large open space, put truly accessible restrooms in there and sliding partitions so that it gives us the ability to use it in a number of different configurations. Back in 2022, I actually did have a conversation, a free conversation with an architect who gave us a ballpark budget for that project at around $400,000. I don't know if that included design costs, which we would clearly need engineering and architectural design as part of the project. I did have a conversation with Ross Lally a week or so ago and told him that I was thinking of this idea and what his thought process was. And he said, certainly for referendums and, you know, municipal elections, depending on how it was laid out, if it had all of the right components, it might possibly work.
And you need a handicap accessible entry and exit. It's got to go in a different way than you go out.
Right. Exactly. But we're already hoping to do that with the enhanced budget we gave Stanford Recon.
That would also eliminate.
We're actually looking to make all of the current doorways that are along the front of the building accessible to the parking lot.
I think that's a cool idea. The last steep grant we got was for the Herrick Park, right?
So we have two that we are planning to get out to bid here in the not too distant future. Herrick Park is closer to being ready to go out to bid than the one for the community septic fields. Mm-hmm. It's sports fields.
Right, but the RFP is for the actual contractor to do the construction. Yes. And do we have enough? Like, in other words, should we be thinking about applying for a third grant for to cover additional costs associated with Herrick Park?
So Herrick Park, we've fully budgeted. We had a budget of $602,000. We have $500,000 coming in steep grant funding, and we already have the $102,000 in the capital budget.
And then the big picture, sorry.
The steep grant, small town economic assistance program, will allow you to put in a second grant, not for any overage, but for a phase two or phase three type.
So that was actually going to be the second part
but
of my question.
But that does not mean that you're guaranteed a closing.
Right.
So the big picture for Herrick Park, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was to create these new sports fields across the driveway. And then that would allow us to work on the existing fields to improve drainage and, you know, modernize everything. Is that
which we don't have the funding for yet.
Okay. Is that like more of a, what's the timeline on that? Like 1 year, 10 years?
Our fields have not gotten the use that they used to get. We used to have a very robust little league program in town.
Yeah.
And it's just, they don't get the use that they used to get. The hope would be that the soccer field that we put in over here at Herrick Park could potentially end up being a practice field for a high school because their field is always underwater.
Right. I mean, on a Saturday, Herrick Park's soccer fields are full. I mean, they're...
Another soccer field is part of that. It's a soccer field right. And a little league field.
For phase two or phase
one? That's phase one. It's a soccer field, a little league field, and some additional parks.
Sorry, I'm confused. The new prod phase one will be one or two soccer fields?
There's
one
phases.
One.
Right now, there's only one phase.
There's only one project, period.
But conceivably, there would be a phase two where you fix the drain. No.
Well,
there could be.
Yeah.
Restoration? Yeah, you're asking for a restoration of the
existing one? Yeah.
But do you fix the ones at the high school or do you fix the ones at the Herrick Park?
I don't know. Is the high school Board of Ed budget or is it a town?
It's town money.
Okay.
It's
I'm not sure we can use steep at the school.
You can't use steep grant for an
education. I think that's not allowed.
I think my only... Okay. All right, so there is no phase two. We're not planning on.
We haven't planned that far. It's in the back of the mind.
Okay, because if we're putting one field in, but we're currently using two, then we're going to be short. If we did renovate those fields, we would be short.
So the steep grant comes up every year.
Okay.
For applications, it does not get funded everywhere, depending on what Urban Act money comes through, and It's got a track record though, since 2000,
pretty fun,
98, that it's only not been funded for only three years, but the other years it is every year has been funded. It does, but it depends what kind of flood of applications come in, and the recommendation has always been don't apply for the 500,000, apply for something even a little bit less.
Yeah.
And
so that you're less than other applicants a little bit.
Makes you a little sweeter.
499.
Yeah.
You know, this is my thinking, is that this project would have such a positive community impact.
I love the idea.
That I think that, you know, it's going to, whatever their scoring rubric is, I think it will get us points on the scoring rubric.
That's a great idea. Should we look at other ideas or do we have to vote?
Listen, this is the board's decision. I'm open. This is just one idea that I've had. It is truly up to the board what we try to do.
But we don't have much time because the application needs to be in February by February 20th.
So can I speak on? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, February 20th. This is the...
Right. That's the submission date.
Right.
And one other piece is I have talked with Mike Serrano from Fryer and Associates, who's an architect that I have worked with on a couple of projects. I like him. I trust him. He's not always the cheapest.
Yeah.
But he's given me a budget of $4,000 to help me prepare this grant application, which I could pay for out of the administration budget.
So, okay, Bob.
Now, going back to, you know, your idea is a good idea. The when you're thinking about steep grant, you have to try and think into the eye of the people to you. And when they're looking at this thing, they actually will look at needs and whatever. Well, they're being inundated right now with all kinds of voting place issues, and that's not just us. That's throughout the state of Connecticut. This is going to be, here we're one of the things that we're looking to do is solve an issue of proper voting place to be utilized, and at the same time being a multiple type use for recreation and also for public meetings. So as far as if you will, points for dealing with multiple issues, this one fits
great.
Three. So it gives you, I think it's put you in a higher priority list to get the thing.
And we can apply for a phase two of the soccer field
restoration
because they love the phase two, phase three.
Right.
Long-term plan.
I think his idea is great. I just feel like we're just being presented this and we can either vote for it or not vote for it. So I don't think there's been any discussion on anything else. It's kind of like...
No, but we should discuss everything.
Okay.
I'm just sharing my opinion.
But I also don't want to lose out on applying. So.
No.
Well, we haven't gotten the first phase underway yet,
yeah. So... applying for the steep grant for the renovation of the Notch Moon for whatever we decide.
But,
versus...
But
maybe that's my
voting,
fault for
voting
not...
Voting places is a hot issue, as Bob... Is very, very poignantly said.
It's
voting places are a hot issue.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
It's on the radar.
That'd be great.
Amanda.
Well, so for clarity's sake, right, it would help with early voting, but we don't necessarily have a voting location issue for our District 1, right? Our voting location issue is mostly in D2, where we're currently voting in a church, and this would not solve that issue.
You do not have to vote in the district. Voting two does not have to be in that district. It can be in voting. It can be in District 1.
There are differing opinions on that, so we'll leave that alone. Having talked with multiple registrars of voters about it.
I got it from the Secretary of State's
office. Okay. Well, then that's updated information since I know they were debating that in the fall. I just want to make that clear. The other thing is kind of along the lines of what Tim was saying is that are there past projects, are there things that have been elevated by this board, by committee groups that we've passed over for steep grants that are looking for funding? The only thing that immediately comes to my mind is projects at Heritage Farm, which has repeatedly come to us and asked for investment in that for the betterment of the community, which could also potentially have revenue implications for us. And so I don't know if any of those projects have been considered. I know we are getting the manure pit, right?
Yep.
Taken care of as part of our the ARPA funds. But I know they also wanted to build a pavilion, and there's issues with, I think, bathrooms, which might be part of the community sewer plan, renovating the barn, renovating that the house over there. So didn't know, you know, if any of those sub projects had been considered. Or if there were any other projects that have been raised in the past that have been looked over. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't think this idea is a good one. I do. I just don't want us constantly looking for new things when there's old things that are still left on the table that haven't been given their due consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they have, it just hasn't been discussed.
Yes.
So I pulled up the eligible and priority project areas, the eligible projects under STEEP. And just looked at some of the categories, and one of them is recreational facility improvements. So we have talked about. Oh, you said you high school fields you cannot do because it's a school on a school property. Okay, so that's out. One is redevelopment of historic preservation areas that leverage private funds, and I wrote down Heritage Farm House because we have not done anything with it. Well, we've done a little bit with the house, but or anything else that has to do with the farm business plan. And then another category is economic development projects, such as constructing, reconstructing, or repairing roads, access ways, and other site improvements. So I don't know whether the Lyman Road Bridge
project. Already asked, we can't use it.
No, we can't.
It's not enough. We can't use it in conjunction. Already asked that question.
Because this one, then priority project areas lists infrastructure, i.e. roads, bridges, public buildings. So I agree. I just agree with both Tim and Amanda that we just to, and you had actually said bring ideas to the meeting. So that's why I was, I
honestly, I thought about the projects at Heritage Farm and again, this is a board decision. This is not a Jim decision. But in my mind, this is more of a need than we have at the farm. I think, you know, I don't know if people realize how much money we've actually spent at the farm. You know, we put a lot of money into the barn. We redid the foundation. We redid the barn after the fire. The town actually went and bonded money to do additional work to the barn. There's a new roof on the barn. There's a new roof on the house. There's a new front porch on the house. And this year we did fund stabilizing the floor framing in the house. So what we've done is we've preserved what we've had there, and we spent a fairly significant amount of dollars and effort to do that so that we could preserve it and be able to take the time that we need to fully develop the master plan and put the projects together. I don't think people realize how much we've actually done at the farm, because it's not stuff that shows, right?
A lot of the barn work was done with grants, though. So I just don't want people to think that.
A lot of it was done with our money.
Yeah.
And one of the comments I get is, how much are we going to dump into this place? And I don't mean to be a confrontation, but when the main master plan was presented to us, one of the questions I asked is, you can't expect the town to be paying for this. How do you expect this to go forward? And the discussions were outside sources. And okay, that sounded good, but it hasn't happened. And I don't think that when we're looking at things like this, that we have to look at what's a more critical need. And obviously, fixing a building that we have really don't even have an idea of what you could possibly use it for is, to me, down at the bottom of my list of where I want to spend a dime on that place. And it doesn't make sense.
You're talking about the house, right?
I'm talking about the house.
Yeah, because I think they have a
because very that's good... that's what, $300,000-$400,000?
Well, the estimates were $500,000 or more.
Right.
But I think they have a really good, plan for the use of the barn.
The barn, right? That's another story.
And I think if I were to look at spending, money at the farm, I would A, concentrate on the pavilion, and then B, concentrate on the public restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I think those should be the first. And public again, this is just my opinion. I think if those priorities at the farm were taken care of, then it would, it would allow them to actually begin to generate some income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the open floor plan for the Natro Municipal Facility, are we saying that there's a quantifiable savings for voting because we wouldn't have to rent space?
I don't know if there's a savings.
We don't rent space from the church.
Oh, we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do some in-kind services. We provide a couple of cases of paper goods, and we clean the carpet out.
And it's a community discomfort by some of our...
The church.
No.
I got you.
Would we be willing to consider making this combined room A and B a rentable space for the public?
You could.
So, yes, you could. So, let's start at the Eric Park. Slated to go in there as a baseball field and a soccer field. And we're thinking that the baseball field may not be a go because the rec department can't find anybody to play. and the team.
Well, they're thinking about eliminating that.
Well, if your kid is going to play baseball.
I agree.
But there's only 10 kids. So they they may be thinking something more in the term of maybe a cricket or
it won't fit
something. It won't.
We've had a request. We've had a couple of requests for cricket, but it's actually quite large.
Oh,
sorry.
And it won't. It just won't fit in the space.
No. Okay. So
that would never.
There's a lot of people.
Rugby or
maybe pickleball.
Right? You can't fit two soccer fields.
No, I don't know.
We can look at that.
So it's still up in the air. I don't know when's that got to go out to quote.
We've got to make our final decisions here in the near future. I was, you know, I actually had a conversation with Joe about it today. What we really need to do is to sit down, you know, probably with, you know, a small group of the Board of Selectmen and try to talk through the issues that we have and make some final decisions. As he said, that one's really fairly close to being ready to go out to bid.
Can we just, when you're going back and looking at the Herrick Park, can you look at the size of the pitch with the regulation for maybe we can get a short pitch in for 3-on-3? Is that mostly just indoor?
Maybe.
But it may give maybe a practice field, a short practice field.
Is there space for a track?
And a full time?
I don't know. Yeah, 3-on-3 is good. So like, or the little kids use a smaller field. They just play sideways.
Right.
So kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they play.
This is why we've got to put together a meeting to discuss it.
Yeah, there's a lot of in a track with
to
way over.
Yeah, I think it's more. It's way more than you think.
Way more than we have. You double
space or cost?
Cost.
So well, that'd be a phase two.
So
we can do a walking pass around it, you know, that kind of thing.
So this pitch ball, does it? I mean, if they did the soccer field and then just made a field flat, would that be an issue, or does it
and
have
that's,
to be
that's
mounted?
Actually what that's actually what John Butromovich and I and Joe Dillon have talked about. So it becomes a versatile space. Don't put the clay in or anything else.
Right.
It just becomes a versatile, usable space.
Yeah. They can use it for any sort of practice.
You're talking about, she said pitch, right? As in soccer pitch? I think you're thinking baseball pitch.
No, I was thinking slope.
Okay.
Slope.
So we have different ideas of pitch.
Pitch is what?
European for soccer.
Oh.
So it's just a short.
I just heard the word clay. Clay should, yeah. Okay.
Well, the clay
would be for the baseball.
That's for baseball.
For the little league.
So we need a subcommittee meeting.
I don't think we have a little league though.
Well,
I think we bring in the soccer people and get the expert opinion.
Well, how long do we have to do this?
Love to watch a UConn game, but
couple weeks.
But no.
Well, that it's not a super rush. I would love to be able to in the next couple months get the RFP.
Very popular. You know what I mean? I mean, high school track team is very popular. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's what they
if there
out.
Was a phase two where you could put an actual track around.
Sure.
Or is that the long-term plan for the high school?
That's the $3 million cap of.
That's $1 million.
3.5.
So someone's already figured that out. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we had cost it out. The first time we did was
you know what? So, if you only have smaller space, then a small soccer field for the younger kids would be a good use of space.
Okay. Do we want to form a committee now?
We can't do that on this agenda.
Yes. Okay. We'll put it on the next agenda.
Take care.
For Herrick Park for this deep brand.
It's already
I think we've decided that.
Phase two.
Yeah.
The conversation.
So the as far as the Notch Road remain be, I think it's a great idea. And I think it would also make the town hall smaller because we'd already have a 3,000 square foot meeting space and we wouldn't have to put it in the town hall.
Oh, the new town hall meeting.
That is one of the thoughts that I forgot to articulate.
Would that be where we would do this meeting?
Potentially.
So I would make a motion that we move it forward, that we direct the town administrator to apply for a steep grant in February for the concept of expanding room A and B into a single facility that can be divided off.
Is there a second?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Bob Moore. Any other discussion? All
anybody
in favor?
To amend it with anything?
Did you want to amend it? Is there,
okay.
Is there any other discussion?
I would just say, I think it just would have been sweet to have this conversation last meeting with like three options. And then we look at the merit of each three options instead of, we have to do this now. This is a great idea. We have to do it or we don't comply. You know, that's all.
You could wait till the next meeting if you want to discuss
it. I think it is a good idea. I just wanted to put that out there. That
so I'm not, you know, I'm
this
not
is a, the fun stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to just put it out there. Yeah. I'm not a grant writer. I mean, that is not. Yeah. That is not what I
just had. It was fun talking about ideas, and this is like the cool stuff that we get to do for the town. So I don't know. Just the next time that there's a grant, it would be cool to talk about it ahead of time.
But I don't always know about it.
Well, it is only 1 month, and we did not know when the date was.
I gotcha.
That's new.
Maybe.
But well, we can start talking about next year's, because I think we should be applying for it every year.
Yeah.
Because it's meant for all kinds.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Well, I will vote for it, obviously. I think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Vote for
moving it forward.
It's already been set forward. Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make All right. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Six yes, one absent. Motion passed. Congratulations. You lined yourself up for another
more,
grant.
For another couple
more,
weeks.
More project management, Jim.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
These are the kinds meeting of things adjourned. That I enjoy doing for the town.
Yeah,
it's progress instead of just...
Who moves to adjourn?
That was Pam Sawyer.
And then Bob second.
Pam and Bob show.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Thank you. Night. Thank you.